Livingston scores early, gets control. Better defense, but turnovers derail Pickett County. Mother Nature, the big winner. Mother Nature won. Clay County and Monterey lost last night as lightning delayed this big region game between the Bulldogs and the Wildcats. Head coach Jake Johnson joins us first thing this morning. Coach, have you participated in a Saturday game in your career?
I have not. You know, this is a first. It's a first I never thought I'd have to do. But, you know, welcome to 2020. You know, everything's unusual, so it's just par for the course, you know.
Were you able to get the game postponed early enough where you weren't there all night at the facility?
Yeah, and, you know, that's something we can bring on, you know, my administration, and we kind of talk to the officiating crew is, you know, if we had anything later than an 8:30 kickoff, you know, we're going to try to postpone. So, you know, we kind of had that that gave us an hour. Because here's what the standard we set here, because, you know, I've never really dealt with this before, but the agreement we'd had is, you know, number one, you know, for TSSAA, I think it's 30 minutes after last lightning strike, you can't resume play. And, you know, it was literally as teams are taking the field to warm up. So, you know, and we'd agreed on another 30-minute warm-up period, so that gave me an hour window. So after the last lightning strike came down, we left for 7:30, you know, things weren't looking too good. So, no, we tried to call that early, and especially looking at the radar. And the funny thing is the first leg of that was supposed to blow around us. You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, towards the tail end of the game or, you know, even after the game, it's going to get pretty rough. But, Mother Nature had other plans. So,
how do you get your young guys ready for a Saturday game? What kind of instructions did you give them last night?
Well, you know, number one was getting to bed. You know, get in the bed, don't do anything, you know, you shouldn't be doing. Make sure we stay focused and prepared, and, you know, gave them a time to be back and make sure they left all their equipment and everything they need to play the game. You know, still no locker from the night before. It's unusual. You know, I'm learning, you know, on this one as well. I've never had a game postponed. I've never had a game rescheduled. You know, outside of this year, I've never had a game canceled. So it's a learning experience for all parties for sure.
We'll never forget 2020 for a whole lot of reasons.
No, yeah, and like I said, this is just another one.
Yeah. When you look at Monterey on tape, what is it that stands out to you about them?
They have a really, really good tailback at Mason Bowman. You know, and he's just a sophomore. Kid is very, very talented. You know, they're very good up front. You know, they got a young quarterback who can really throw the ball around, strong arm, and a sophomore. You know, they got some guys that can go get it. I mean, they're a good football team. You know, they have been. They were last year. You know, they are again this year. It's, you know, and that hats off to Coach Hughes and his staff, you know, after losing a lot of kids at graduation after last season and still being able to produce. I mean, that's, you know, that's definitely a reflection of the coaches and what they're doing, the coaches that they've got going on there. But it's a tough task. It's one of those things that you can't really sell out to stop one thing or, you know, try to find a weakness somewhere. They've got a lot of things they can do to hurt you, and they don't really have anywhere you can target defensively.
The way last year's game ended, is it your sense that it still resonates with your guys? Have you tried to put that out of their mind? How do you deal with that?
Well, and a lot of them are still pretty fired up about that game last year. You know, coming up short in the region championship game in overtime, you know, walk-off field goal. But, you know, they're fired up. You know, a couple of those guys in our locker room, you know, have never beat Monterey in high school. So it's something they're definitely gassed up for, you know, especially after coming so close a year before. You know, I'm not worried about, you know, the motivation. I just hope we keep our emotions in check and, you know, at the end of the day, our kids execute the game plan.
Yeah, I would think over-emotion would be more your biggest concern.
Right, and, you know, that's kind of something we talked about all week. You know, look, guys, I'm we love the passion, you know, the intensity, but we still got to be focused. We got to be under control. You know, there is such a thing as too emotional.
If you're going to win this game tonight, what do you think you have to do well?
I mean, the number one thing is not turn the football over. And, you know, anytime you win the turnover battle and control the clock and win the scrimmage, you know, the good things happen. So, to me, it's whoever's going to make the least amount of mistakes, to be honest with you. I mean, I know that may sound cliched, but, you know, when you got two good football teams, you know, that that's one other, that's how it goes. It's, when you get in games like this, it's not that somebody's going to do something just completely overpower the other. It's, you know, one of them waits for the other to make a mistake. So, you know, whoever plays the cleanest game, I think it's going to be the one that comes out on top.
Should be fun tonight. If you don't have anything going on, enjoy the game. Clay County and Monterey tonight in Salina. Head coach Jake Johnson. Thank you, coach.
Hey, thank you.
Mother Nature, the biggest winner on Friday night across the Upper Cumberland. The high school playbook continues with our UC Sports Nation scoreboard from Friday night, powered by East Tennessee Dodge. Livingston Wildcats got back on the winning track Friday, beating York Institute by a 15-7 score. Raven Carpenter with two touchdown runs early in the game to get the Livingston Wildcats out in front. Dragons got an 80-yard touchdown return on an ensuing kickoff, but that was all the scoring they could get done. Livingston improves to 6-3 on the season. Cumberland County Jets played their first game since September 25th. They fall to Bledsoe County, 40-19, the final score. The Panthers of Stone Memorial take care of Smith County last night, 39-10, second consecutive win for the Panthers. Stone Memorial now 4-5, 1-3 in region play. Upperman Bees saw their four-game winning streak come to an end Friday as they fall to Watertown, 27-6. Lone score for the Bees came in the fourth quarter when Ty Dutchess found Daniel Metzger for a touchdown. Bees are 6-3 on the campaign. Red Boiling Springs takes care of Pickett County 28-18 last night. Riverdale defeats Warren County 39-6, ending the Pioneers' perfect season. White County and Macon County canceled because of lightning in the area. Monterey and Clay County postponed until Saturday after multiple lightning strikes there. Cookeville and Rockvale postponed because of COVID-19 in the Rockvale program. White County and Macon County faced off Friday night. Well, at least they did for about 6 minutes of that game. And then Mother Nature put her hand into things and changed how it all turned out. Mark Frazier is head coach of the White County Warriors. So how do you grade those first 6 minutes and 5 seconds?
Well, I've never had to evaluate film on a half of a quarter there, but to be honest with you, I was actually very pleased. I was really excited the way we came out to play, so I'm really disappointed we didn't get to finish and that the effort wasn't put in to finish. But we came out, they got the ball one time, and we looked pretty good on defense there, and we got the ball back, and it had gotten a couple first downs, and when the lightning hit, and you know, we came off the field, and that was it as far as playing the game. So as far as the kids go and the effort we had and to be honest, the crowd we had, we had a crowd that was vocal, and they're right there on the field at, you know, at Macon County. And so I've been excited to see a crowd that was involved. It was shaping up to be a good night for us. So just disappointed we didn't get to play.
So you go into the locker room and you wait out the lightning, and then what happened from there?
Well, you know, we come in and there was just discussions. Actually, immediately there was discussions to call the game, and you know, right after that, at first lightning bolt, you know, at 7:30, and you know, we didn't want to do that. You know, we traveled a long way, you know, put a lot of work in. We wanted to wait it out. So, bottom line, we wait till about, you know, 8:45. It looked like there was a clearing coming about 9:30. But at that point, the opposing team did not want to play. Basically came and said, this is no longer a discussion. We're leaving. You know, game's off. We tried to get them to reschedule for today, and that was also, they didn't want to do that. So when the other team doesn't want to do it, what do? You know, you can't make them play. So, The only thing there that disappoints me is, you know, and I told, you know, just mentioned that last night, I've got guys that seniors that want to play, and you know, we kind of took that away from them right there, a chance to play one of their few. You know, you get 10 chances, and you take one away from these guys, and just disappointed in the whole situation. I felt like we could have made a little bit more effort to try to get the game in, but, you know, everybody does what's best for them, and that's, I guess that's the way the world goes at this point, but just disappointed for our guys and our staff. We worked hard, and, you know, we wanted to play, so.
Coach, I've always wondered, in a high school situation, what do you do in those lightning delays? I mean, do you have kind of a recipe for how you try to handle it?
Well, a little bit of it depends on the situation and the facilities and things that you're in. You know, if we were at home, we would handle things a lot differently than we would be if we were on the road. We were a situation where we, you know, got several kids and not a lot of space. So what we did last night, we came in, brought water in, hydrated. With our huddle equipment, we came in and, you know, reviewed some film and watched, you know, watched what we had already done there in the first 6 minutes, tried to correct anything there, and then try to get the guys off their feet. A little bit of those lightning delays is depending on how long the, you know, how long that delay may be. So for us, we knew it was going to be a little while, and we thought we'd get back on the field in about an hour and a half. So we didn't try to get out and do a lot of stretching or anything in there. We just told them to get off their feet and make sure they hydrate. And then as you get closer to time, you know, try to get them back moving a little bit and get back in game mode. But it's a little different for each situation.
Do you try to keep them engaged, like you're saying, with film and that sort of thing, just to kind of keep the mental part of it working?
Well, I definitely do that. I think young kids, it doesn't take long for the mind to start to wander. So you have to keep them focused on the prize. And I tell you, that was one of the things I was so disappointed about not getting to play last night. I felt like our guys were focused and they were ready to play last night. And so we came in and, you know, our guys really, you know, continued to want to play. So we didn't have a lot of trouble with that, keeping them focused. Very disappointed they were that we didn't get to finish. So, but yes, you're right. You want to try to keep them, their minds on the game. And if it's going to be a lengthy delay, you know, you can do some different things there with film and board work and just whatever you got available to keep them focused on the task at hand.
Mark Frazier is head coach of the White County Warriors. I wake up this morning and I look at the schedule and you realize the regular season ends next Friday night. It seems impossible that we're already to the end of the regular season.
It is, and that was another thing we hated about last night. We had some things on our team that we may not be important to the rest of the world, but we're important to us. You know, we had a 4-game winning streak, and the fifth game, which we'll still have that opportunity next week, but that's something that White County High School hadn't had. And since we know, at least since the early 80s, we actually think it may go back into the 70s, a 5-game winning streak. So for us, that was important. We wanted a chance to get the 7 wins. That's something that's only been done once since the, you know, late 80s. And so that kind of gets taken away from you there. But we've got to refocus and come back. You know, we play a really, really good pasture team. They're very athletic and they run. And, you know, we're going to be underdogs. And that's, but we, you know, you get to the end and you set your goals. So I guess that's why I'm a little disappointed about last night. But we'll have to refocus and come back and try to achieve some of those goals on that last game.
Your young men will be excited for that one, won't they?
And no doubt. Like I said, they – good group of kids. I've been very proud of them. You know, we started 1-3, and you talk about the season coming to the end. That seems like an eternity ago. We're trying to fight back to get that one win to get the ball back rolling. So proud of the way they rebounded to win the last, you know, 4 more. And I felt like after those first 6 minutes, we might have had a decent chance to get that next one last night. So just proud of the way they work. And they'll be excited, and they'll play hard this last game. Like I said, good pasture's good, but I think our kids will be ready for the challenge. Maybe, you never know. You roll the ball out there for a reason, so we'll see what happens.
White County's Mark Frazier. Thank you, Coach.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Larry.
Warriors not able to play last night against Macon County. They get 6 minutes in, and then the game called because of lightning and rain, and Macon County does not choose to play it today. Upperman goes to Watertown Friday night, and Watertown comes away with a 27-6 win over the Bees. Head coach Adam Kane of the Upperman Bees joins us on the High School Playbook. Just a tough Friday night any way you slice it, Coach.
Yeah, it really was. You know, we couldn't really block them, and we had trouble tackling them. And you know, I'm kind of old fashioned when it comes to football. And you know, I think it's still about blocking and tackling. And you know, when your opponent does those things better than you do, then I think usually you're going to end up on the short side of it.
Was it anything they did that that surprised you, or is it more just the physical matchup?
No, not real surprising. They did. They hit a double pass on us right before the half with about 50 seconds left. You know, may have been the only surprise. We knew they had good players coming in and a lot of speed on defense. I was disappointed we weren't able to run the football, but you know, I'll give them credit. You know, they for sure outcoached us and probably outplayed us a little bit, and so you know, it was. I think they're a good football team.
What did you say to your young men when it was done?
Well, the biggest thing that the point that I'm trying to get across is to the guys is, you know, when you lose and you got all kinds of expectations, there's a lot of outside noise, and there's a lot of little league dads that want to complain about play calling this and this, that, and the other, and we got to block that out. And my philosophy, especially for high school football, is it, you got to be disciplined and you got to be tough. And to be quite honest with you, this team, the 2020 Upperman Bees, we haven't really met that standard of discipline and toughness that we all you know, that we all want this year. And for that reason, we've kind of had an uneven up and down season. So you know, I hope we get one more opportunity to see if we can. Or one more regular season opportunity to see if we can reach that standard. And, you know, I think I do have a group that works very hard, and I think they want to win. And I think we're capable. I think we are, you know, have some talented players. But last night we probably ran into a team that's a little bit further along than we are this year.
You know, that's an interesting point that you make, Adam Kane, because – we get so caught up in offense and defense and schemes and those things. But if you think through college football, the NFL, the teams that are most successful are the ones that are the most consistent. Week in, week out, you kind of know what you're going to get.
Yeah, it's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, you look at the standard bearer in 3A football, and it's Alcoa. And, you know, they're not unbelievably hard to prepare for in terms of their schematics. They just do what they do really, really well. And, you know, they're very disciplined. They're very tough. You look at, like you said, any level of football, and it's the teams that block and tackle. And, you know, but people listen to the social media. They listen to all the people talk. And, you know, all the dads want to talk about halftime adjustments and this, that, and the other. And you know, what it really boils down to is who's going to block, who's going to get off blocks, who's going to tackle. And, you know, that's the biggest point that I try to get across to my guys. I've been in it 30 years. I spent a good deal of time at the college level. I thought it was about schemes there for a long time. And, you know, I've kind of since I became a head coach, I've tried to simplify things and let the kids play fast and aggressive and hard. And you know, for the most part, we've had success doing it. But this year, we just got to continue to, you know, aspire to be a better, a more disciplined, and a more tough football team.
Is it hard for you to believe that we're at the end of the regular season?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Good grief. You're still a phone call away from, or a text message away from, you know, getting shut down. So I hope we get to get it in. I was noticing on the TSSAA scoreboard that there's seem to be a lot more COVID games this weekend or forfeits, which is scary because I think the kids, I know my guys, they want to play and they show up to practice every day and I don't think they're real interested in just practicing football. I think they want a reward at the end of the week to play. So I hope that, somehow we can keep this virus at bay and, finish the regular season out. And, in the most fun of high school football is the playoff tournament. And, I just hope and pray that the good Lord will allow us to, get a whole state tournament in and because I think these kids are deserving, especially ones that really work hard. So, it's crazy. If you'd have told me in July that we'd be nine games in and not having missed one, then I would have thought you're crazy. But here we are. I hope we can continue.
You wouldn't have believed it, would you?
No, sir.
Watertown beats Upperman 27-6 Friday night. Head coach of the Bees, Adam Kane. Thank you, Coach.
Appreciate it.
Livingston Wildcats get back toward a win with a victory over arch rival York Institute, 15-7, the final score. Head coach Bruce Lamb joins us on the high school playbook. Livingston and York, there's anytime those two get together, there's a lot of passion on both sides to walk away with a win.
Absolutely, it's a huge rivalry, and it's been that way for as long as that, if anybody talks about football, Livingston and York is a huge rivalry, and it doesn't matter what anybody's record is coming to the game, you're going to get the best game out of both teams.
And it doesn't matter what the records are, the game's always going to be a little wild and wacky, and last night it was the weather that made it that way.
Yeah, it just seems like something crazy always goes on when we play York, and last night we had homecoming. Everything was great. The girls had walked on the field with dresses and everything was perfect. And as soon as the game gets started, probably 3 minutes in, it starts coming to monsoon and it don't let up the entire game. And it seems like it's always something, but this is what you come to expect it.
It's playing in the rain for football players, it takes you back to being 8 years old, but that doesn't last very long. Like, about 15 minutes of it, okay, it's kind of fun. But a whole, 2.5 quarters, not so much.
Yeah, it was our kids were there, it started to rain, and of course we had just scored and got a turnover, and it's come this big rain, and we score again, and they're all fired up. As it continues, that the emotion starts getting a little dampened a little bit, as you would say. That cold rain coming down and the wind blowing, it takes its toll.
Let's talk about your two early touchdowns. Raven Carpenter, once again, showing that quality running back.
Yeah, and Raven's doing a great job. And we played him a lot last night at quarterback. And he just had the hot hand against White County the 2 weeks before, and so we thought we would let him come out and play a little bit more, and we thought we were putting a little bit too much stuff on Nathan Cobo as a sophomore, and we've moved him around a little bit on defense also, so we went with Raven, and of course Raven's just such an athlete. He does a great job wherever we put him, and came up with some big runs last night, took a little load off Caleb Robinson back there.
What is it about Raven that impresses you the most?
He come in as about 115-pound freshman and got to play some, and I've watched him just grow as a young man, not physically grow, but mentally grow. And he wants the ball. He wants to, he'll do whatever his team wants him to do to win a ball game. And, he's such a good kid. And I think he's up to 160 pounds now. And, when you go out there and you watch him play, you're going to get every ounce of that 160 pounds going as hard as you can the entire game. And that's what you love about a young man that, that just loves the game and wants to be a great teammate.
Their score came on special teams, a play I'm sure that concerns you.
Yeah, that's really the one letdown we've had all year on our special teams. You know, I think we got a little lax, and they did a good job blocking that right up the middle, and we didn't squeeze it fast enough, and you know, they made a big play on it. But you know, hey, we'll go back to work Monday and see if we can fix that. That's one thing we can't have. You know, special teams are such a huge part of the game, and we can't have that. No more big plays. The big plays need to come from us, not them.
Your defense partnered with Mother Nature to keep them off the scoreboard, but before the rain hit, were you doing things well to keep them from moving the football?
Yeah, I thought our defense played really well last night. You know, they like to, you know, try to power down your throat, you know, run the ball right down your throat, and they like to be very aggressive, and they've been successful at that last few weeks especially. And, you know, Austin Reeder came in. He's been injured most of the week, and got to go in last night and play nose guard. He did a great job of making contact with that center and making it hard for them to hold on to the ball. And we moved some people around a little bit just to see if we could strengthen our defense, and it seemed to work last night. You know, our guys were they were aggressive last night and tackled really well.
What does it say to you when a guy can come in like Austin and maybe not have as much practice time as he would like and still come in and play at a very high level?
Hey, it's huge, you know, because at this time of year, you've got those little aches and pains and bumps and bruises, and it's hard for a kid or anybody to go out and practice very hard all week long and then play on that game on Friday night. So be able to sit out for a little bit and then come back in game time and play well. That's a huge confidence builder for him and our team.
Can you believe it's the end of the season?
I can't believe we've got it in so far. I mean, I back in June, July, I mean, I never thought we would play a season. You know, it's 10 games into it, you know, coming in this week. It's unbelievable. And to me, it's been a very tough season, just from all the things that's been going on. But, you know, the kids have been great. And you know, I couldn't ask for a better bunch. They have done everything we've asked. And it's nothing's been normal. Nothing has. And it's different every week, seems like. But, you know, those kids stay right in there and they hang in. They're excited about getting to play, and hopefully, you know, if we got a big game this week playing for second place and with Macon County, and we, you know, we want to try to host one. So we got a big game this week. I'm excited about the opportunity.
Bruce Lamb is head coach of the Livingston Academy Wildcats as Livingston beats York Institute 15-7 Friday night. Coach, congratulations on the win.
Thank you, Larry.
Cookeville Cavaliers got an unexpected bye Friday night as Rockvale had to cancel the game with Cookeville because of positive tests inside that program. Head coach Jimmy Mader joins us on the high school playbook. Coach, kind of walk us through when you found out about the situation with Rockvale and what went on.
Well, it was Wednesday afternoon and about 2:30, and Coach Rice had called, and I actually thought probably he was calling to maybe tell me that he wanted to play on Thursday night because of, you know, bad weather coming in. But anyway, that wasn't the reason. He'd called to tell me that he said, I think we're going to be able to play Friday. And I thought, well, yeah, I think we're supposed to. And he said, we only have one day of practice. He had told me that they had been, I guess, shut down. And I didn't know that because of the COVID. And said he had, he said he had about 7 kids. And I think he said he had 8 coaches that had tested positive.
Oh, wow.
But they were still trying to play. Felt like they had enough kids that they could play. But he let me know Friday. And then about 4:30, my phone rang again. We were right in the middle of practice. And he called and said that they had shut them down for the rest of the year. So that's kind of how it came about.
So at that point, you're right in the middle of practice. How did you handle it with your team?
Well, we were having a pretty good practice, so I continued to practice and, you know, just get her time in. And, I actually did cut it a little shorter than I had prepared. And, but we finished up practice, so, you know, we could, you know, have a good practice. And then I just explained to our young men, you know, I knew they would be a little disappointed, but, you know, it is what it is. I told them, hey, we pick up a win. We're in a situation now where, you know, we go into this last game of the season with Blackman and a chance to, you know, make the playoffs. If we're able to win that football game, we'll prepare for that. We had a couple of kids that were a little banged up anyway, so it gives us a chance to, you know, heal up a little bit and get closer to full strength going into that last game.
Did you work Thursday?
We did. We practiced Thursday and prepared a little bit. We haven't, you know, we still got to, you know, prepare and watch some film and get some things, but it gives us, normally our Mondays are kind of shorter because of a game on Friday, but, you know, we'll start back Monday full go and really pick up an extra day and a day and a half of preparation time.
You know, you mentioned that the young men were disappointed, and, you know, maybe if you didn't play sports, you don't realize that those young men and young women in other sports, they realize that the number of opportunities to suit up, they are limited.
They are, you know, in football especially, you know, you only have 10 guaranteed games. And with the pandemic, you know, there was nothing guaranteed. And you don't know from week to week when it's going to hit you or if it's going to hit you or if it's going to hit your opponent. So there's a lot of factors there. And you know, that's what I tell our young men every day, that, hey, let's be glad that we can be out here working and practicing and playing. And they want to play. I mean, you put in a lot of hard work. And you do in all sports, but especially in football because of the limited number of games that you do have compared to the other sports. They play a lot of games, and, you know, when you miss one, it's disappointing to you.
Jimmy Maynard, head coach of the Cookeville Cavaliers. So how does the playoff picture stack up for Cookeville with one game left?
Well, it's do or die. I mean, Blackman's in the same situation that we're in. They, you know, they have to win to get in, and whoever wins that last spot, they'll be the fourth place team going in. Everything kind of got settled last night, I think, with the games that were played last night. So I think that's where we are. It looks like it's going to be Oakland 1, Riverdale 2, Warren County 3, and either Siegel or either Blackman or us number 4.
So essentially the playoffs begin this week.
Well, they began – actually, for us, they began, I guess, 2 weeks ago when we played Siegel, because we had to win out. We had to win all of our games to get in. So, you know, it started for us really 2 weeks ago.
Do you like where this team is right now going into this last game?
Well, I do. I think we played better the last game. You know, hopefully we'll get, you know, Trip Wallace had a little shoulder issue in practice this week and probably wasn't going to play Friday night. So, you know, we're still banged up and dinged up a little bit, but, you know, we're as healthy as we can be going into the last game, provided nobody, you know, gets hurt this week in practice. And, we're, you know, facing a Blackman team that when you look at their record, you think, well, you're not that good of a football team, but they have played a killer schedule. I mean, they have played some of the better teams in this state, but they've started, you know, lately they've gotten on a roll, and they're very athletic. They've got great big linemen and on both sides of the ball, and they always have skilled kids, and their quarterback is an exceptional player. He's a 3-year starter. He's a UT baseball signee, a pitcher, so he's got a great arm, and, you know, it's going to be a difficult task for us, but, you know, that's why we play, and we'll see what happens.
Cookeville coach Jimmy Maynard as the Cavaliers get set to close out the regular season against Blackman. Thanks, coach, for the time.
Thank you, Larry.
A lot of rain for Pickett County and Red Boiling Springs Friday night, but they were able to get the game in. Red Boiling Springs comes away with the win, 28-18. Ray Reagan's head coach of the Pickett County Bobcats. Coach, once the rain started, it turned into a nasty night, huh?
Yeah, it was cold, wet, and sloppy. We got a lot of water standing on our field, and it was a rough night.
What was the story of the game?
And we, of course, we just did, you know, come back. We started out a little slow, and then seemed like we got going and took the lead. And then, you know, I'm not making any excuses. We both played on the same field, but, you know, turnovers in the water, you know, and that was the biggest part of it. But all in all, kids played with a lot of fire. They, you know, I can't complain about the effort they put in. It was, you know, just turnovers.
Just hard to hold on to the football?
Yeah. Yeah, they had a couple, too. You know, we forced a couple on them. Unfortunately, the ones we forced on them didn't come at the good time. You know, we got the ball and moved it, but we was marching down the field in the fourth quarter trying to run the clock down and you know, had a good chance to score and take the lead back and turn the ball over. And, you know, but like I said, no excuses. We both played on the same field. Worked out for them, didn't work out for us.
That's the thing about turnovers. They are not created equal. It all comes down to field position and how it impacts your field position.
Exactly. And, you know, in the time of the game, you know, us that turnover that late in the game, we didn't have a chance to, you know, come back. And whenever they turned over, it was early enough in the game that it didn't affect them as bad. And like I said, no excuses. We played on the same field. It was just kind of the way it played out. But all in all, I thought the kids actually played better than they have all year. Considering the conditions, we moved the ball. And defense looked like they was finally starting to get it. So, you know, just field conditions. But like I said, everybody played on the same field.
Who stood out to you defensively for your team?
Dylan Anderson, Raxton Robbins, Hunter Kennedy, Hunter Vick, you know, they all, you know, they played well. They plugged it up and we slowed them down and, you know, pretty well done what we needed to do. Andrew Flowers played really well. Like I said, and most of it's just bad timing on the turnovers, but like I told them, if, you know, if we'd have been far enough ahead like we should have been, the turnovers wouldn't have mattered anyway. But we'll regroup. We'll go down and play Joe Burns next week.
Has your defense started to settle down a little bit? I know that was a concern a couple of weeks ago that they were just not playing with speed and seeing things kind of, they were more focused on technique and the strategy more than just playing football.
Yeah, that's a lot of it. A lot of that's on me whenever we, you know, got some players quarantined and I changed defenses 3 times in 1 week and, you know, just trying to adjust to the players I lost and what I thought would best suit us. And, when you do that, they spend more time thinking about what they need to do than just doing it. And all that was on me. This week we went back to our original defense that we started with, and they was more comfortable and, you know, could flow to the ball and didn't have to think near as much. So a lot of that was on me, but, you know, we were just trying to adjust the best way we could for the players we lost to make up for it, and it didn't work.
Ray Reagan is head coach at Pickett County. You went through the COVID. How difficult was that for your team to not be able to play and even practice?
Well, it's hard. You know, when you take that much time off, and a lot of people don't think about it, you know, these teenagers are all in excellent physical condition and can run. But you take 2 weeks and them just sit there. We spent the whole first week just basically trying to get them back into physical shape. And then, you know, this past week we actually got to start regular practice. And, you know, it's hard. You get behind. You would think that just 2 weeks after you've been doing this all year wouldn't hurt you that bad. But a lot of them forget things, and then, you know, your timing gets off, and it's basically like starting all over.
And a lot of fans don't realize there's a difference between being in condition and being in shape and being in football shape. There's a difference there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and the timing of everything. You know, whenever you're not, you've got to practice this stuff constantly to stay, keep your timing, quarterback with his receivers, quarterback with his running back, the line to work together. Everything's timing, and if you know you're not doing it constantly, you get out of timing, and it shows. But yeah, the physical part of it, when you're not out there getting hit or hitting, that's a whole lot of it. Your body adjusts to the contact, and you know you can run all day long, but you need to be in shape as far as the physical part of it.
Final score: Red Boiling Springs 28, Pickett County 18. Head coach Ray Reagan, as always, thanks for the time, Coach.
Hey, appreciate you.
Not often that you have the chance on a Saturday to go enjoy some great high school football, but you're going to have that chance, and it is a big game. Monterey and Clay County playing tonight. The game postponed last night because of the storms that moved through. Scott Hughes is head coach of the Monterey Wildcats. First of all, Coach, with the rain that was there last night, and I guess the lightning really was the bigger issue of not being able to play this game.
Yes, you know, definitely 100% this issue is due to lightning. We had, you know, kind of tracked the radar like everybody does and was hoping that it would hold off, and it kept looking like it was going to go around us. And then, we, you know, kind of got that first lightning strike, and then it was pretty heavy lightning. You know, not that scary lightning that booms and scares everybody, but you just had it was enough lightning that it was about every, you know, 4 or 5 minutes, it seemed like. And that was resetting the 30-minute clock. And then we started pushing into the avenue of how late were we going to play. And, we got into that 8:30 kickoff, 8:45 kickoff. And then we saw that there was a second cell coming in, you know, pretty close behind that. And we knew then we were, you know, probably just going to get to go out and warm up, maybe get a quarter at the best, maybe a half in. And so both schools decided just to play a full game tonight in a lot better conditions.
When you prepare for Clay County, what is the number one thing that impresses you?
They got a ton of team speed, and rivaling their team speed is on defense. Their pursuit to the football and their aggressiveness and physicality. And this has been a weird week for us because we'd had 2 weeks of school off for fall break, and then we had a game canceled. And I'll be honest, we've had a terrible week of practice. And so, you know, it was one of those things, where we kind of flipped the script a little bit and, you know, didn't worry as much about them, because we couldn't get out of our own way trying to be us. And so, you know, we spent a little bit more time early in the week on us and you know, instead of them, just because of the way that the week went. But they're a great football team. I mean, they were picked to win our region, returned numerous starters, you know, got a lot of guys that have started for their program for a long time, and just a well-rounded football team. I mean, when you look at their front seven, they're exceptionally well. Their secondary is you know, way above average, and it's just a great football team.
To that point, getting out of routine, I mean, it sounds simple, but with athletes, especially high school athletes, is not simple.
No, and that is, you know, the big worry for us is always coming off a fall break, and this year being a little bit different. Had several guys that was coming back into our school setting that had been in school, you know, virtually. And that's different, you know, when you're sitting on the couch or you're laying in the bed doing your schoolwork, it's completely different than sitting in a desk. And I challenged our guys early in the week, and I knew it was going to happen. And we were, I mean, horrific practice on Monday, and we looked like a bunch of zombies, which, you know, a lot of that's attested to having to sit in the school building from 8 to 3. And that, you know, everybody thinks, well, you're just sitting there and, you know, paying attention, but it's a complete different environment having to sit there in that capacity. And we were zombie-fied then on Monday, and, you know, we're a little bit better on Tuesday, but not for the duration we needed. You know, so that routine has changed, and then having to play on a Saturday. You know, and that was something that we had talked about during the week, was the adversity of, okay, if we get a lightning delay, I never expected a cancellation and have to play on Saturday. But we did talk about during the week, okay, what if we've got to go back in for 30 minutes? You know, how is our team going to react? What's our focus going to be? And so that was something we talked about last night when we got off the bus, was how to handle a Saturday game. What is the approach now, you know, not having school today, and how do you approach? What time do you get up? When do you eat? All of those little things that a lot of people don't understand, but for us it's huge, and it's something that we talk about all the time with our routine and how much we need to eat and how much rest we need to get and how much hydration do we get. Those are things that we constantly talk about in our program. Even without a Saturday game, it's just our routine.
You can't do that Saturday get up at 11 and gorge yourself kind of thing.
No, and that was you know, kind of hammered home last night, was, you know, can't be up on TikTok and Snapchat and all that stuff till 2 or 3 in the morning like you are, you know, normally are on a normal Friday night. You got to get in bed, got to get up at a decent hour, you got to eat, and you know, we'll kind of go through a typical, I guess you could say, a typical fall break game day where we don't have school. So that's kind of our routine. So we have been blessed enough to have that fall break game where you're not in school and to kind of have a routine set for that. But I mean, you know, in 16 years of coaching, never had a game canceled and delayed like this. So, you know, kind of something new for me as a coach and new for our coaching staff that we had to spend some time on the bus last night, kind of making sure that our routine was what we wanted and making sure that we had everything, you know, to a T the way that we need to see it today.
I know as coaches you try to keep it as an even keel, Scott Hughes, but these games, when they're important, it's against a rival, there's a lot on the line. It has to get your juices flowing a little bit more.
Well, you know, I think anybody that's ever seen me coach or anybody that's played for me, you know how I am on game days, and I'm, you know, pretty animated. I won't ever deny that, you know, and it's one of those things. I love the game and the passion for the game. And, you know, I always love big games. And, you know, it's something that I always tell our guys about, you know, big games are the reason you play. And if you, you know, and it's one of those things everybody always talks about, coaches' speeches and pregame speeches. And, you know, region games to me are those games, you know, realistically, if I've got to say something or got to show you a video to get you ready to play, then you're probably not ready for that game. Kind of the way I view it. And, but you know, our guys are excited to play. Our guys, have been really excited about the end of the season, you know, pushing into this week, next week and into the playoffs, and knowing that we've already, you know, secured a playoff spot is huge to our guys, because one of their focuses was to play better in November than we did last year. And so that's really been their focus, is just getting better every week, to hopefully have a better performance in November. And I don't even want to say win in November, because that's not the focus. It was just to have a better performance in November. And so these guys have really worked hard, and they're really trying to take the steps to just get better every week. And knowing that they're already in the playoffs was a huge burden off of them. That way they could really focus on improvement daily.
Scott Hughes getting set for Monterey Clay County tonight in Salina. Coach, good luck tonight.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And as always, thank you guys for all you do for high school athletes and high school programs in our area.